Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show. I'm your host, Christine Upchurch, and I'm talking to you from the KKNW AM 1150 studio here in Seattle, looking at sunshine. And I know every single time there's sunshine, I have to report it because it is Seattle, folks. But Benny and I are here just really jazzed right now. Right, Benny?
Well, yeah, this is a great beginning to our beautiful Easter weekend in store for us.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, may actually get up to 70 degrees.
Woo!
Yes, yes, I know. We have to have a party when it gets nice here
the
in Seattle.
Sandals might come out.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, I'm so grateful to be talking to you today. I have the opportunity to talk to you from KKNW, Cable Radio Network, WBLQ in the Northeast, and, of course, Transformation Talk Radio. And I am particularly excited today about my guest. Now, I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. First, I want to tell you a little bit about my perspective as a healer. You know, many years ago, it's actually been a couple of decades now, you know, I was a statistician, you know, living my life the way I thought I was supposed to live it. And then I faced cancer. And doctors said, you know what? Early treatment's not helpful. Eventually, when it gets to be bad enough, we'll put you on chemo and keep you on chemo the rest of your life. So I ended up saying, nope, I don't like that life plan. I ended up healing myself without any medical treatment and changed my life path and eventually went into healing. But when I first got into healing, I thought, you know, healing is about eliminating the physical symptoms. And then eventually, as I did more and more healing and eventually went to teach it, my perspective on healing sort of broadened. I thought, okay, well, it includes mental healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing. And eventually it broadened even more. It's like, oh, it's about quality of life. Well, now at this stage of my career and this stage of my own, you know, inner journey, I've come to recognize that the healing that we all truly yearn for is healing into our authentic selves, you know, connecting with source while in human form and finding our way to our true self. And in that vein, my guest today is a healer extraordinaire. She's a beacon of light helping to bring us all to our true essence. I have to tell you, when I first started reading something, you know, something from this author, I didn't know I was reading it from her, and I'll tell you who she is in a minute. You know, I was getting O Magazine, Oprah's magazine, and also, you know, getting her daily, you know, inspirational things, you know, with links to articles. And I kept finding my way to articles. And it's like, oh, wow, that was interesting. And then I'd find my way to another one. Oh, that's great. Who's the author? Oh, Martha Beck. Oh, this is really interesting. I find my way reading it all the way to the bottom, even though I was running late to go someplace. Who was that by? Oh, Martha Beck. And eventually I found my way to her books. And oh, my goodness, I'm so glad I did. As I said, she's a columnist at O Magazine. It has been for many years. She's an author of many best-selling New York Times books. But, you know, her education began in a whole different sort of arena. It wasn't really the self-empowerment arena. It was East Asian studies and sociology, where she studied at Harvard and ultimately got her PhD in sociology. She actually taught at the university level. But now she's a life coach, and she specializes in helping people design satisfying and meaningful life experiences. She's the author of Expecting Adam, Leaving the Saints, Finding Your Own North Star, and her most recent one, which is one of my favorite books ever, Finding Your Way in a Wild New World. I'd like to introduce Dr. Martha Beck.
Oh, my gosh. If you hadn't said my name, I was like, What? Who is this masked woman you speak of?
And I fail to say, you've got a wonderful sense of humor and self-effacing, and it's just great. You're really down to earth, but oh my goodness, you are such a powerful speaker for finding our way home.
Oh, thank you. That's really all I care about. Really. That is like, I get high off that.
Yeah. And it's great because in your new book, you say, finding your way in the wild new world. Now, Martha, I get finding your way because that's what your life has been about, exploring that on your own and teaching that in the world for many years. But why did you call it Wild New World?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. As you said, I my doctorate is in sociology. So long time ago, I could see the writing on the wall in two ways. Technology was going to develop to the point where you could now do with your computer what it would once take a government to do,
right.
Like communicate with billions of people or with another government or whatever. So that was happening. And then there were pressures created by like our work system and our school system. They were created for factory work, and humans haven't evolved into being factory cogs yet, thank God.
Thank goodness, yes.
So it was, and it gets, you can't live as a factory cog. That's why Thoreau wrote that the majority of men lead lives of quiet desperation. He was talking about the people who are working in the factory system, which is our entire corporate model, right?
Right.
So as a sociologist, I went, oh, like the structures, the social structures by which people have guided their lives for the last few hundred years are going down, baby.
Uh-huh.
And okay, I'll give you an analogy. I used to think, you know, when I started high school or whatever, a career was like a train track. And you'd get on it, and you just go to a predetermined end.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was taught, too. Yeah.
Yeah, by the time I was doing research at Harvard Business School, I was seeing this trend. Oh, maybe a career is more like a car, and sometimes you can drive it off-road. Wow, how wacky is that? Now, I realize that a tsunami is hitting our culture, a tsunami of change, a tidal wave of change.
Right.
And there are no roads, and there are no tracks. There and the vehicle you need is a kayak,
right.
Because or a surfboard. The conditions of our technology and the work world and everything else, and politics and marriage, all these institutions are kind of breaking down. And so we find ourselves back in the wilderness, bewildered, because we're taught, we're educated, these structures are going to hold you when you come out of school and all that. And they don't.
Uh-huh.
So people, it's a wild, crazy new universe. Socially,
yeah, and
culturally.
And it also seems, Martha, that sometimes when we feel like, you know, whatever situation is holding us, I think more and more people are getting kind of dissatisfied, disillusioned, and feeling an inner chaos even when they're not getting tossed around by the waves of change.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's everywhere.
So, you know.
I just had an interruption. Okay. Somebody interrupted me. How dare they do that? It's like a wild new world in here. Things just interrupt your plan. You get a plan, and there it goes.
Yeah, well, it's a great lesson in staying in the flow, you know. I think that speaking on the radio, it's one of those times where it's like, okay, yeah, I've got a plan, and yet I have to let go of the flow.
Yes. So, yeah, there is a wildness that comes up inside us, and it is, in fact, by embracing the wild part of our own psyches that we function well in a chaotic universe or in a not chaotic. I mean, chaos, I say chaos, but if you've ever seen like the beautiful fractal models that are created by equations and computers that put random data into chaotic patterns, chaos does not create obliteration. It creates patterned disorder. It creates nature. It creates things of extraordinary beauty that look organized, but they're never the same twice. So that is the chaos that we're living in externally and the chaos we're living in internally. If we can match the wilderness around us with the wilderness within us, those two patterns begin working together in this very intricate, beautiful way. And it is completely incomprehensible to like the rationalist 20th century mind how to let that happen. So that's what I was trying to help people do in this book.
Right. And much of your book takes place on a game preserve in South Africa. And it sounds like you've had quite the adventures there.
Yeah, well, that's where I kind of woke up. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, in my early 40s, and I'd sort of done the bucket list, you know. I'd had bestsellers, and I'd done these things, and I'd had wonderful, blessed life. And I couldn't project into my future, so I thought I was going to die, and I was fine with that. Mm-hmm. So I doubled my life insurance and went to Africa. And mistakenly tracked up really close to a mother rhinoceros and really truly thought she was going to kill me. And I was like, wow, what a way to die. I was like completely fine with it. And when you let go of your plan, it's like Joseph Campbell says, the life you are meant, you must give up the life you have to have the life that is waiting for you.
Right.
And I literally surrendered the rest of my life. And suddenly I realized, oh, this is a new time in human history, and we have the potential to either destroy our existence on the planet or to go to a way of being that we've never experienced in recorded history,
right,
where there's sort of a co-creation of nature and humans and love and companionship and structures, and there's a whole new way to imagine human systems after this tidal wave leaves.
Yes.
And I was like, yay, I think I'll live. And since that, again, it starts to sound pretty wacky and nonsensical when I get to the edge of our combined consensus belief system.
Mm-hmm.
When I was writing this book, my editors thought I was completely insane, like completely out of the box, crackerjacks, crazy.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I had Penny Pierce on my show recently.
Well, oh, I love her.
Yeah, I do too. Absolutely love her. And she and I work kind of within the same realm, and she sent me a copy of her upcoming book. And I looked at the foreword and said, oh, my goodness, Martha wrote the foreword to Penny Pierce's book. You know, so that was before I'd gotten my hands on your latest book. And it's, oh, wow, you know, Martha's sort of venturing outward. But isn't that the path that we're all being urged to take?
Yeah. Yeah, and it just gets wilder and wilder. And I'm having so much fun writing the book I'm reading now. I mean, writing the book that I'm writing now,
uh-huh,
because it's pure storytelling, and it's just the straight up what I believe, but it's in the form of fiction, so I can just play with it. And one of the things I say in Finding Your Way is that it must be playful, but will guide you through the chaos, which is this beautiful pattern disorder,
uh-huh,
is play. The time of work is over.
Right.
And I'm not the only one saying this. I love Daniel Pink's psychology books, and he says that the most marketable skills in the 21st century will be, in order, story, design, symphony, by which he means bringing together disparate parts, empathy, play, and meaning. That how different is
wonderful
that from the 20th century?
Yes. Thank
just
God.
Insane.
Thank God.
So immediately, I just decided I have to go off the reservation, but it's okay because I was ready to be killed by a rhinoceros. So I literally said to my editor says, I just don't get this. And I said, I respectfully do not care.
Good for you. Good for you.
You know, I'm just old enough. I'm a crone now. I've embraced my crone power. I'm a batshit crazy old. Oh my God! I said a swear on the radio.
Oh dear!
So
did Benny bleep it? No, he didn't bleep it. So we're good. But we are running out of time with our first segment. But when we come back, more with Martha Beck. We're going to be talking about her perspective on the magical abilities that we should access and how to access them. When we return on the Christine Upchurch Show. If you were looking for that one-of-a-kind store, then you should check out one of my favorite places, a wonderful shop called Utopia. At Utopia, you'll find a wide array of beautiful and unique jewelry, home accessories, and gifts made by artisans here in the Northwest at affordable prices. Escape the ordinary and find your way to Utopia in Redmond Town Center, open 7 days a week, and online at utopianorthwest.com. That's utopianorthwest.com.
Are you struggling through difficult times? During these times of change, many of us need tools and support to help us get through. Julie Kleinhans is the host of the hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay and is a world-renowned life coach. Many of us are worrying about what will happen to our jobs, our homes, and to our lives. This is why Julie is offering a 40% discount through January 31st of 2013 to support you and your family through these difficult times.
She'll teach you how to use energy tools that will help you relieve the stress and anxiety in your life. Julie is donating the net proceeds to victims of Superstorm Sandy through the organization All Hands Volunteers, a U.S.-based nonprofit dedicated to empowering disaster relief volunteers and rebuilding communities. Please call Julie at 516-639-8042, 516-639-8042, or email julie@mindfocusgeneration.com for more details and to schedule a session.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. I'm Christine Upchurch, and I am having a conversation with one of my favorite authors, Martha Beck. And now, Martha, in your book, Finding Your Way in a Wild New World, you talk about how we as wayfinders are accessing magical abilities. First, can you define wayfinder for me?
Yeah, I was looking for a word that would not have a lot of associations for people in our culture. And there are people in every traditional culture who have a cluster of characteristics, and about 1 in 50 to 1 in 100 babies has this, I think. And the characteristics include all of the things I said were so marketable in the 20th century. Uh-huh. So this person is the artist, the storyteller, the doctor, the psychologist, the mystic, the singer. All these, what our culture looks at that and goes, well, that's like 9 different professions.
Right.
But when a child has interest in all of that, and primarily in healing, this incredible empathy, the tribe goes, oh, that he's one of those, she's one of those, and, uh-huh. and they train them up. But there's so many associations with all the words, you know, medicine doctor, witch doctor, shaman, they all carry baggage. So I used wayfinder because it's sort of self-explanatory, but it's not too common.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's to refer to a person who has that cluster of characteristics, the shamanic archetype.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the wayfinders. And what was the next question?
So you talk about the technologies of magic. And,
yeah.
And you offer 4 categories, essentially, 4 steps to accessing the magic.
Yeah.
And the first one, you say, is wordlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find absolutely fascinating that you were able to explain that in words in your book.
I didn't. Hopefully I got to a place where the person can go, oh, I've experienced that, and briefly uh-huh. enter wordlessness and then come back. This is another thing where people have said to me, could you explain that to me again?
Uh-huh.
And I'll be like, okay, you're going to sit here with me, and we're going to drop into this place of stillness. And like, I can feel the electricity buzzing between us and stuff. And they're like, okay, so now tell me what happened. Tell me, explain that. And I'm like, it's really hard to explain wordlessness in words. So,
right.
But it actually neurologically, and the brain science that goes with this stuff is phenomenal. It's simply what Jill Bolte Taylor, who's a Harvard neuroanatomist who had a stroke and recovered from it, she calls it stepping to the right hemisphere.
Uh-huh.
So you go out of language and the analytical part of the brain, which chops things apart to analyze them. That's what analyze means. To the right hemisphere of the brain, which is, it synthesizes new meanings out of unforeseen combinations of events and objects. It is wildly creative, and it knows all kinds of magic. So you have to move over into that and get out of language before magic can actually happen. And what we call magic, by the way, Arthur C. Clarke said any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic.
Yes.
So to a rainforest tribe that's never seen civilization, an iPhone is clearly magic.
Absolutely.
And we say, no, no, it's technology. And I would say to a shaman, how can you make a psychoactive substance that does exactly what you want out of 8 different plants when you've got 80 million plants to choose from? And he says, and it, to me, it's magic. And he's like, no, it's technology. The plants sing to me. They give me the instructions. I make them. It works.
Sure.
And it does.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, as an energy healer, I feel the same way. You know, I've got the scientific background. And yet I think that so much of what we're accessing someday, at least, you know, if at least right now from another realm, it is very scientific. And yet we're not there yet to be able to evaluate it scientifically.
Yeah, the weird thing is that our science has gone beyond Newtonian physics, where we're all just a bunch of random particles knocking around.
Uh-huh.
It went beyond that in the early 20th century. Physics has shown us that we are, in fact, entangled fields of energy that can influence each other at a distance. It's not even a question. They've done the experiments. And yet those very scientists, if you say, well, that maybe that means my body is a wireless communication device and I can connect with you, they're like, ah, charlatan, idiot, fool, whatever.
That attachment to the myopic perspective.
Yeah, and the strictly materialist, which was blown away by physicists in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm. So when you were in South Africa, you had an experience that sort of shifted you into that place of wordlessness. Can you share that with us?
Well, the rhinoceros did it for sure. Mm-hmm. I've had so many, frankly, because to interact with the wild animals, you have to be in that space. You can't sense them, and they can't sense you from another place. So I'm frankly not sure to which anecdote you are referring.
Well, I was actually talking about when you noticed that there were some giraffes that were looking off into the distance.
Oh, yeah. And you could see them, these huge, huge animals. They just stand out. They're just enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just broadcasting absolute horror. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how we knew. We just did. We drove to the place where they were staring, and a lion was killing a baby giraffe.
Mm-hmm.
And they kill by suffocation. And a giraffe's neck is extremely powerful, so it was taking a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically traumatized me to the point where I had to do a little post-traumatic therapy on myself afterwards.
Sure.
But what I realized is the giraffes fully experienced the horror, and then they fully experienced the release as the horror ended.
Uh-huh. But did you?
No. My horror remained because I stored it as a story in my brain that I then connected to every other negative story and to terrorism and to disability. I mean, just name your story. It connects with that.
Yeah.
And I had to find the place in myself where I was attached to all those stories in order to find myself again. And that's the first thing the wayfinder must do, is come home. Come home to the self.
Right.
And then the self guides. But if you get kicked out of it by your thinking, which is verbal, it can't guide you.
That makes sense.
It's
like the words come from the left side of the brain, which doesn't connect us with home, but can come in very handy.
Yeah. Oh, it's super handy. Are you kidding? We really, really need it. But my favorite Asian saying, I think, is that the mind is a wonderful servant and a terrible master.
Oh, yes.
And we're talking about the left hemisphere of the brain, and technically that's a simplification, but it really is. So the mental mind really is a gorgeous and beautiful tool when it's used as the servant of compassion.
Right.
But if it dominates, so compassion's directives are overridden, it creates monstrosities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why humans killed 100 million of our own species in the 20th century.
Wow, yes. So how does a person get into this place of wordlessness?
There are tons of methodologies, and I tried many of them, and saw the ones that worked for me, mm-hmm. and then those were the ones that I wrote down. Because, you know, it has to work. I'm not going to throw my science brain out the window just because I'm looking at, you know, weight finding. So meditation is the most typical way in our culture. It was freaky when I was a kid, but now it's accepted. But people don't realize that movement is one of the most powerful ways. You've probably been driving down, you know, driving home and missed a familiar exit because you were in another place.
Yeah,
you're in wordlessness when that happens, usually. Running, cycling, skiing, watching running water, watching a flame burn, watching these natural moving things is actually one of the most powerful things because your mind can follow the physical action and let go of the language for a while.
Right.
So play your favorite game. Play again is sacred play is a form of going into wordlessness. If you really want to, you can torture yourself into it, like fast and go out in the wilderness and uh-huh. expose yourself to the elements until the mind gives up. And then you find peace beyond the surrender.
Right.
I much prefer the paths of delight where you can take the most beautiful sensory experiences. Like right now, everyone listening, imagine like the most delicious chocolate you've ever eaten. And then combine it with the most beautiful natural scent, like pine trees or the ocean. And then combine it with your favorite sound, like a choir singing or whatever. And just fill your senses. The senses aren't involved with the verbal mind. They are involved with presence. And presence is what does magic.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my favorite way by far.
Right, right. I remember years ago learning to meditate. This was when I was facing cancer, decades ago. And this is well before, you know, there were books out there about it and people talked about it on the radio. And I said to my therapist who was teaching it to me, I said, you know, I don't think I can meditate. And she's like, why? Well, I don't like sitting in that lotus position. And I don't like that just focusing on my breath. And you know, but I do like music and I feel like I'm cheating. And she's like, well, listen to music and sit, you know, in an easy chair if you want to.
Music is one of the most powerful ways to go wordless. Actually, the right side of the brain does do words. In three forms, well, two really, lyrics and poetry, which are basically the same,
uh-huh.
and jokes. Those have to be created by the right side.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So music takes you directly into a sensory experience of emotion where language can be bypassed. And it's extraordinary. If you play an instrument, you can just play yourself right into the magic.
Yes. Well, this is a fascinating conversation I'm having with author and life coach Martha Beck. Stay tuned for another segment in just a few moments.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.
Love is officially in the air. Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show is showing you love all year long, not just for Valentine's Day. Dr. Pat, known for her Pay It Forward manifesto, is now joined by the hosts on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm in love, baby, with Transformation Talk Radio. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. Amazing host. Incredible guest. Get your groove on. Feel the love. Be the love.
Can't get enough of your love, babe. Lord, some things I can't get used to.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath. to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice, full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to aspiremag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show on Transformation Talk Radio and KKNW. I'm talking to Martha Beck, author of Finding Your Way in a Wild New World, and we're talking about the technology of magic. So as wayfinders, Martha, you talked about the importance of getting into that place of wordlessness.
Right.
What's the next step?
The next step happens automatically, which is why, you know, I really spent a lot of time talking about wordlessness, because the next one's instantaneous. When you get into the part of the brain that is not constricted in verbal form and doesn't analyze things and cut them apart, what you see is this vast unity of energy that is the physical world. Mm-hmm. And again, this is the world physics describes for us, unless you go back to Newtonian physics. And it's kind of frustrating, because it's like, we really are seas of energy, and we really do emit electromagnetic waves that can be sensed 10 feet away from our bodies, even by crude instruments.
Right.
And we have all these wireless communication devices that can talk to each other. Why is it? And our nervous systems are electrical. So why is it such a jump to think that we could be wireless communication devices?
Right, right.
It's just not part of our cultural norm. But it's, once you lose language, you lose culture. So you can just be present, and in presence, you absolutely know as an observed reality that we are interconnected fields of energy. It mm-hmm. just is. I call it oneness. And the reason it's even a step is that once you get there, you can communicate through it.
Oh, now so, that's an important point. It's not just about tapping into it.
Yeah. Wordlessness is like logging onto the internet, but without a computer. And oneness is like realizing I can send messages mm-hmm. and receive them.
Right.
I can build things online. Oh, my goodness, look what I can do here. And you start to interact with the sense of being interconnected with nature. And you realize that even inanimate objects have a sort of primitive consciousness. I mean, I just spent an evening with a bunch of people who were bending metal with their hands because you can, when you're in wordlessness and you feel that you are one with the spoon or the rebar or whatever. I know it sounds just completely nuts, but
no, it sounds like fun, actually.
And you'll know.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you bend spoons now?
I haven't tried that.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it's so fun because you want to get a sturdy spoon. So at first you can't bend it at all. And then you like hang out with it for a while. And if you can get wordless by playing, by getting silly, by playing music, by dancing, by whatever, suddenly, and you picture the spoon bent, you will suddenly feel it wanting to play with you. And it's like having a puppy or something, only littler. And it just folds like soft clay into whatever form you ask it for.
So is there something special about spoons, or can we do it with forks as well?
No, we can do it with forks. You can do, I did it with soup ladles. I went through a period where I was bending everything in sight because I literally could not believe this was happening.
Right. And then you had to go out and buy new stuff, didn't you?
Yes, I did. All our silverware is completely, like, mangled. But I was twisting them into corkscrews and all kinds of stuff.
Fun. Well, you know, a new form of art.
But that's oneness. That's the fact that did you know that when you hold something in your hand, within a few minutes, your brain has developed an area that is related to the tool, the same way there's an area related to, say, your hand.
Uh-huh.
So it becomes part of your anatomy as you learn to use the tool. The brain literally creates a place for it. It's so fluid.
Interesting.
Now, think about that tool not being a spoon. Think about it being the internet.
Uh-huh.
And think about your brain encompassing all the technology of the internet.
Wow.
Nah. And it's literally true. There is a monkey at Duke University whose thoughts, they set her up with a joystick and gave her a reward for winning this game. And then they wired her brain to transmit signals to a robot, a man-sized robot. It also had a joystick. She gets a reward for winning a point. Then they take away her joystick, but she now can control the robot by thinking about playing the game. And the robot responds to the signals from her brain faster than her own body can. And she's at Duke University, and the robot is in Japan.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And that's true. That's happening.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. It is.
So, you know, I think that this concept of going from wordlessness to oneness is, there's an important step within there where you actually are thinking in terms of doing something when you get to that place of oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you can communicate. You know, I think many people just sort of get into the flow. It's like, wow. That was an interesting experience, or where did the time go?
Yeah.
But they don't think in terms of doing something within that oneness.
Right. And by the way, it's not only everywhere, it's every when, too.
Mm.
So time does vanish, and a lot can happen in a very short time.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, and it's a state of mind that traditional cultures have always cultivated and spoken of and taught to each other, and our culture has won big material gains by refusing to see that side. See, if you're in connection with that side, you cannot go in and, like, take a country and kill all the people and enslave the rest.
Right, right.
You're in compassion. You're one with them. It's not possible.
Yeah.
So that's, we won and we lost. Yeah. We lost connection with our souls and with each other so that we could get more stuff as a culture.
And don't we have to also be willing to let go of control? Because I think that there's an aspect of that, not just the stuff, but you know, one group of humans wanting to control another group of humans.
Yeah, that's just fear. And the vast majority of it comes from the storytelling we do in our verbal mind.
Oh, interesting.
We terrify ourselves. We watch a TV report. We're perfectly fine, you know, sitting safe and sound in a very comfortable room. And we can be so freaked out by something on the news. You know, bird flu is going to kill everybody.
Uh-huh, right.
And it's just, it's story, and then we're in a state of perpetual fear, and we snap at people, and we don't sleep well, and it's just, it's so unnecessary.
Right. Well, you know, I stopped watching the news a very long time ago, unless there's something like, you know, when the tsunami in Japan occurred, you know, I turned on the television.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty rare for me because I found that it was definitely affecting my state of mind, my level of happiness.
Yeah, I was talking to a hockey player, and he said, when you're shooting the puck, the goalie is so big, and he almost fills the goal, but you have to look at the spaces, not at the goalie, because where your eye goes, the puck goes. And then immediately after that, a whitewater kayaker told me, when you're in whitewater, even if there are rocks everywhere, you never look at the rocks. You always look at the free channel, because where your eyes go, the boat goes. And then, like, nine different people told me the same thing, and I was like, I get it. Where my attention goes, my life goes.
Yeah, here's number 10. As a motorcycle rider, it's the same thing. Wherever you lean your head, you need to turn it first, because wherever you turn your head, your body goes, and you can make those turns a little sharper and, you know, more.
Same riding a horse.
More
where
efficient.
Your eyes go, the horse goes.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. And so, you know, sometimes people will think of me as being rather ignorant in certain realms, but I found that in terms of my own happiness and developing wisdom, it was really important for me to let go of the fear-based, you know, visuals and auditory.
You're a statistician, and it makes no sense to say, I know the world is a hellish place. I know it because I've looked at the same data point. I've looked at the same fact 10,000 times.
Uh-huh.
Instead of looking at 10,000 facts,
right,
which will show you that actually there's far more peace for you than there is trouble.
Yes, yes. And that's true for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So after you get from this place of wordlessness to oneness and begin this, you know, accessing something more,
yeah,
What's the next step of tapping into the magic?
Now you bring back in, as the servant of compassion and oneness, you bring back in the analytical human mind, which can do something that, so far as we know, no other animal does, and that is to imagine things that have never existed. So there's something about our abstract brains. They create nightmares for us because we can drum up fears that don't really exist.
Sure. Yep.
But we can also imagine astonishing, glorious things, and our technology is a result of that imagination. The interesting thing about doing this in tribal cultures and so on is that they're not as concerned with stuff. So their imagination goes to things like accessing realms of wisdom that are not ordinarily accessible, expressing and feeling more love for others, for animals, for plants, being taught by nature instead of dominating it. So they imagine different things. And this, I talked to a lot of them doing the research, and they said it's so hard for us to even get into the mindset that you guys have, which is basically this hellscape of everyone fighting everyone else for this little, you know, for gold or whatever.
Right, right.
And they're like, we just don't go there. It's not a fruitful place, and it's not really true. We use our imaginations as the servant of compassion, because oneness is just another word for love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we can blend the two. Like, if you get somebody who can imagine an incredible computer technology working like a shaman who is completely in touch with compassion, we actually may be able to heal what is broken in the world, what we broke.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I focus so much on this place in Africa, because it's a rebuilt landscape.
Yes.
It was completely trashed, and it was restored to its natural beauty and health, and the people on it are integrated with the natural world in a way that sustains them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do that all over the world, or things are not going to go well, ultimately.
Right, right.
So I think it's bringing our magical technologies and then bringing up the magic that comes from the ancient places. That is going to be a very fun game to see if we can fix what we have broken.
Yeah, and the synergy of the two may be very powerful.
Ooh, I'd take out the maybe there.
So it's time for us to go to another break. When we return, Martha, I'm going to be asking you about the imagination. Is it something that we just are doing sort of from a conscious mental place? And what is the magnetism of the imagination? When we return on the Christine Upchurch Show in just a few moments.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
If you were looking for that one-of-a-kind store, then you should check out one of my favorite places, a wonderful shop called Utopia. At Utopia, you'll find a wide array of beautiful and unique jewelry, home accessories, and gifts made by artisans here in the Northwest at affordable prices. Escape the ordinary and find your way to Utopia. In Redmond Town Center, open 7 days a week, and online at utopianorthwest.com. That's utopianorthwest.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show. I'm talking to Martha Beck, and I have to tell you, you know, I'm having a great time talking to her on air, but it's also fun on the breaks. So, Martha, we were just talking about Adam, your son, who is now a young adult, right?
24.
He's 24, you said?
Yeah.
He's got Down syndrome, right?
Mm-hmm. Last I checked.
So, how has he helped you to learn about this concept of oneness and, you know, tapping into this other realm?
Oh, that's like every book I've ever written. That kid is so magical. And, for my big rupture with reality was when he was conceived. And I abruptly started having psychic experiences that were testably accurate.
Right.
And I was just mighty psychic for 9 months. And then when he was born, the door closed almost completely. Mm-hmm. But he is like a massive energetic battery that just, I was just telling you about seeing him holding a ball of light in his hands and watching it change color. And he's staring at it with like rapt attention, but he's holding a ball of light that is changing colors.
That other people are actually seeing.
But yeah, like 11 people were in the room and all 11 were just staring at it like, oh my God.
Wonderful. So he's used to tapping into that realm.
Yeah, I mean, he is so there. He lives there. I have to go there to talk to him because he doesn't really speak in language much. And that I used to think was such a sad thing because I'm so verbal. And now I'm like, That's so funny. That's the biggest gift I was ever given.
Isn't that great? Yes. Oftentimes, I think when we think we're, you know, getting given a burden or, having something happen to us that we just didn't expect, that we think that's going to mess up my plans, it turns out to be a real gift.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So what's the difference when we're in this imagination realm, you know, when we've gotten beyond into this place of wordlessness and oneness, and we start to use the imagination? What's the difference between using our mental imagination, like I want to create a car, you know, I want to have a car, manifest a car in my life, versus the magnetics of the imaginary realm that you talk about?
Yeah, people are staying in a very verbal, grasping, fear-based, non-magical self and trying to create money. That is the norm in our culture, so much so that we take it for granted, when in fact, now I see it as completely bizarre behavior, like lunatic behavior.
Uh-huh.
And I was totally in it at one time.
Right.
So remember how I said the oneness is not only everywhere, but every when?
Yes.
When you're there, you can feel events reaching for each other in the field of time, and they reach backward and forward. And there are mind-blowing physics experiments that show, for example, that people can influence a random number generator, the output from it, 2 weeks after the test. So they tell the random number generator to go non-random, and they're doing, and they want it to happen 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And then they go look at the data, and they find that the non-randomness occurred 2 weeks ago. And in the same way, you can feel your future coming from you. Rilke, the poet, said, "Fear not the strangeness you feel. The future must enter you long before it happens."
Uh-huh.
And it does when we're in that space. Interestingly, when you're in the space where you can create everything, you really don't care about money. That is such a, I was so frustrated when I realized that.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, when I totally let go and just go to play in the magic, money, you can actually materialize money very, very quickly if needed for something wonderful.
Right. And that's the last step, is it's the forming. And you talk about that in your book as well. The forming, does it require effort?
It requires a delicious, sort of playful, yummy, it's kind of like eating ice cream. Okay, so it's that kind of action that's necessary. And like I run a company that does, we do pretty big business. And my whole staff, we get online with each other because it's a virtual company.
Uh-huh.
And on the phone, and we say, is everyone lying down? That's the first thing of every meeting. And then it's like, is everyone rested? If you're not rested, you have to go rest, because otherwise we'll mess up the whole business model.
Good
for you.
So
once they're rested, the next instruction is bask. So everybody has to bask in the joy of the moment. And then we're like, what wants to be offered that could be most healing for the most people that we could be best at? Like, what? How can we be a pencil in the hand of God? How can we offer ourselves? And then we'll have an idea. Oh, that sounds so fun. Let's do that.
Uh-huh.
And let's get a bunch of people. Let's get a bunch of people to pay an absurd amount of money to come to the African wilderness and, like, do silent meditations with elephants.
Uh-huh.
And people, I mean, it's not a smart business model. So we have to rest.
You didn't learn that in at Harvard, did you?
And not so much. It was not on the career choice thing when I went to see in high school what I should be.
Right.
So because it was hard to believe, I had to rest pretty deeply for that. But now we've got, not only is it filled for every year, but we have like 60 people on the waiting list. And
that's great.
Yeah, it's super easy when you feel what wants to happen. And here's the key. If you think what you want, you may or may not get that.
Uh-huh.
If you identify what you yearn for, and then you yearn for the essence, the feeling state that it will bring, and then you go into that feeling state, that's when you materialize it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does truly seem to just drop out of the sky.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? I mean,
it's crazy. No, it isn't. It's sane.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. But people will say to me all the time, well, how did you manifest that so quickly? It's like, I don't know. I was in this place and it felt good, and there it was, you know?
Easy, 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 easy. Everything has to be easy. Isn't that crazy? I have worked so hard all my life, and now I'm like, rest and play?
Oh.
But I seriously believe that there's an energy shift, and right now and from here on out, the way to make the best living possible is to play until you feel like resting, and then rest until you really feel like playing, and then repeat. And that is it.
What a wonderful message to end the show with. Thank you so much, Dr. Martha Beck.
Oh,
you are a bright light.
Oh, you too, puppy.
Thank you.
And thank you, Benny.
Benny has just exited to go to work in his other show, and we now have Eric in the studio.
Hey, Eric.
And
hi.
Just got a couple of announcements here of what things coming up at my center. We've got a couple of events. First of all, Authenticity Rising is a workshop, a one-day workshop that I've developed with my partner in fun, my colleague in Colorado, Sabrina Fritz. We call it Authenticity Rising, 5 Fun Steps to True Empowerment. It's giving you tools to basically connect and implement your authentic voice on a moment-to-moment daily basis. That's coming up April 27th at my center in the Seattle area. Also coming up this Thursday evening, Trance and Transformation with Lauren Archer. We're going to be talking about planting the seeds of inspiration. We're going to be discussing our perspective on that. What's, you know, how to access those seeds and decide what needs to be planted, what we yearn to plant, and how to sort of foster the growth, the creation, the expansion of what it is we want to develop. And then Lauren, who is a hypnotherapist and a cognitive behavioral coach, will lead you through the trance portion of it. And I will be supporting her and supporting you in your process energetically with my woo-woo healing stuff that I do. And so that's this Thursday night at 7 p.m. If you need more information about the services that I and my practitioners offer at my center, go to stellarreflections.com. And you can also find us on Facebook, The Christine Upchurch Show and Stellar Reflections. Please connect with me one way or another if you're listening to the show and you've got some suggestions, you want to give me your input. I love to hear from listeners. Next week's show, I've got Mary Lynn Ross. She's an author, an actress, a filmmaker, a peace seeker, all sorts of things. Fill in the blank. We're going to be talking about how to bounce off the walls and land on your feet. Talk to you next week.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Transformation Talk Radio. A higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody. We'll see you there.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.